You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Partners and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WWW-WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
The game is afoot. Good morning, everyone. It is February 27th of 25. That is from Holmes, isn't it? Is it the game afoot? Yeah, I think. Well, it's great to be with you here this morning on a... Can I say this? A spring-like day. Mm. It's kind of radical. The birds are competing with each other in their songiness as I walked into the station here this morning.
Snow is a-melting?
Yeah, snow is a-melting for right now. Apparently, we have some other stuff coming at us. But, seasons are changing.
Makes you feel like you're turning the corner, you know? And we're moving into pre-spring. Right?
That's right.
Windows roll down and cars. It's lovely.
Just a week ago, the lakes were at 50%, and now not so much. You know, things change. It's great to be here. If you have a question of a financial nature that you would like possibly answered by us here at Prout Financial on the TCM radio show, Ron, please, who is that?
Feel free to call us or write it down in a text message at 947-0023, 947-0023. That is the 231 area code.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. If you are listening on Saturday morning, it is a rebroadcast at 9 a.m. Joining us today, Heidi Cartwright, our own RICP.
Yes, indeed. I'm glad to be here this morning.
Great to have you. And then Beth Shire, our Director of Marketing. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Well, what I mean by the game is afoot, I meant really to say that change is afoot because firms like ours have to work, don't have to, but we do, through a registered investment advisor to allow us to do what we do, to follow us with appropriate compliance, offer different strategies to us and then to our clients as well, and then serve between us and a custodian, which is LPL Financial. And in this case, in the future, will be Schwab as well as Fidelity. So this new firm that we're affiliating with, which we're introducing here this morning, is called Integrated Partners. Integrated Partners is a top 100 RAA firm listed amongst Barron's advisors. So we, to say the least, are extremely excited to be able to join them. It has been a longer process than anticipated. Speaking of longer, we started about 5 years casting about, if you will, on who we might affiliate with. It wasn't anything that we pursued with any vim and vigor, but we were thinking and planning towards it. And about a year ago, I read an article in the Investment News on Mr. Paul Sagany, the president of Integrated Partners. And it was very positive. And from that article, we contacted them and started conversations. So from about a year ago, just at the end of last week, we had authorization from the firm we're moving from and acceptance from Integrated. And we are now with Integrated Financial Partners. And They will offer our clients a much deeper bench, if you will, in terms of estate planning, financial planning products and areas, investment options, portfolios, structured portfolios, everything from individual management to structured accounts within exchange-traded funds. So they have a deep bench, I'll just put it that way. They're about seven times the size of the current registered investment advisor that we're with. So they'll afford a much more wider array of services and advice to both us and our clients, because things are only getting more complex. So given that reality, we've decided to relocate, and we appreciate our clients who are with us. You will see paperwork in the next week or two helping you effect that change with us. So if you have questions, obviously call us at the office, 231-947-3992. Heidi, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, I would just say that one of the strengths, I think, for our firm is we're independent. We're individual advisor representatives. And what we're allowed to do in that capacity is we get to pick and choose who we work with, and we can form new affiliations with organizations that we feel will take us to the next level or offer a more robust experience for our clients. And so we're always looking, are we where we should be? Is there something else out there? Can we do better? And so this is one of the things that Dennis has explained over the years. We felt that we wanted to look for something and just looking to make that experience better for our clients.
Yes, and we're excited because we've been out to meet them. We've had a lot of back and forth with their team and have been impressed at every turn. So we're excited for both us and our clients in this transition, and they will offer us a lot more in terms of products and services and the whole rest of the gamut. So we've got a lot to talk about here this morning. And by the way, one of those good examples of affiliations is our affiliation with Ed Slotin Company. That was a decision we made several years ago because, frankly, we knew we were going to need to do it to be on the radio because of the amount of information we knew that they would help provide us with. And so we are using their most recent newsletter here this morning from Ed Slotin Company, 5 Common Rollover Mistakes.
Before...
Yes,
we
have a question.
That realm. Can we get a couple of answers to questions? Like, is there a best way to invest in bonds for the average Joe or Josephine?
For the average Joe or Josephine, if you were looking at bonds, a bond portfolio, there are several bond portfolios managed by low-cost providers. I really do wish I could name them on the radio. I cannot. But just think of low cost in terms of low cost providers. You probably already know the name I'm thinking of. If you don't, call us at the office. I'm happy to share it with you. There are several options, that and including even Treasury inflation protection securities, too, you can get through an ETF. I'll just say that because right now those look particularly interesting. They can fluctuate like every other investment, but there may be an opportunity there. So anyway, lots of ways to invest in bonds through ETFs and or low-cost mutual funds.
What's the ETF?
Exchange-traded fund.
So can they do that? Who do they need to see to do that? Can they do that through Prout?
They could do that through Prout if they're a client. Or they can do it through their own brokerage account that they might have at another provider. So, obviously, I don't know who that is given the text.
And another question, is it better to contribute to a 401k just to the minimum to max out, or just to the minimum to max out employer contribution, and then fund a Roth IRA and mutual fund as opposed to putting everything in the Roth 401k, let's say total contribution of 20%. So is it better to contribute to a 401k just to the minimum so you max out your employer contribution and then fund a Roth IRA and mutual fund as opposed to putting it in? So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Okay. There was recently an article by Dave Ramsey basically saying that same thing. I mean, that was just a couple of days ago, and I was kind of mystified by his advice on that. And it's just me. You know, it doesn't mean that it was wrong, but I was a little mystified. First of all, you're not limited as to income in putting money into a Roth 401k, where you are with a Roth IRA. Now, that may be not be a problem for this particular person, but it depends on what your investment options are in your 401k. Some of it is ease. I mean, really, do I have to have five accounts to do all this stuff? That's really, you know, some of it as well. So it depends on your 401k. If you're getting a total of 20% of your compensation put into the 401k baseline, good job. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's rock and roll. Depends on your time frame to get there, how old you are. But using that monthly sum going into the Roth is extremely important because the Roth portion is not deductible. You have to ride on the investment performance alone within the Roth. So you may want to necessarily be a bit more conservative with those investment options. Keep that in mind when you're putting money into the Roth option, whether it's in a 401k or an IRA. There are other freedoms and more diversification possibly allowed within the Roth IRA. Again, it just depends on what you've got within your 401. Happy to speak with you, this person, briefly. And you're welcome to give us a ring, 231-947-3992.
Okay. One more. I know you've addressed this before. Sure. How does the Prout Company get paid? Is it hourly or percentage? How does that work?
We charge a fee for our services on an ongoing basis coming from the account. Lots of documents in order to do that. But it's a fee as a percent of assets. Okay.
All right.
Management. You bet. Appreciate the questions. My gosh, it's active this morning. People are just wound, including Dennis. All right. Five common rollover mistakes. Number one, taking multiple IRA distributions. Mistake number one. Going to the article. Yes, interrupt
again.
See, just imagine
never
that.
Never going to start.
Just for clarity. And I may represent some people.
I'm sure you do, Ron. Your questions are always great, sir.
When you mention rollover, what is that again? When you're rolling over from what to where? What does that mean?
When you're rolling from one investment to another within a qualified plan. So you're taking money out of a 401k or another IRA and putting it into a new IRA account, quite simply, okay? So it's when you're moving money from one tax-qualified account, again, whether it's a 403b or a 457 or a 401k, generally into an IRA.
Okay.
Okay?
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. So mistake number one from this article, five common rollover mistakes. Taking multiple IRA distributions and thinking they can be combined into a single rollover. So you've got three IRAs. You took $20,000 out of each one. Uh-oh, that's a problem. You can't do that and receive the check to yourself if you do a direct transfer. Now, the rollover is taking the money from the IRA and getting it payable to you. That's when the buzzer goes off
taxes, and
taxes are imposed unless you roll it back in. But if you take from three separate IRAs, Ron, instead of just a one, you can do one of those per year.
Without a tax penalty?
Complexity. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to wind up having two of those that you can't roll if you intended to do that. Well, I've got three IRAs that irritate me, and I just want to put it into another IRA that I really like. Okay, you can do that, but it has to be a direct trustee-to-trustee transfer. Okay? So you can only do one IRA rollover per year.
And that's 365-day rollover, so you can't just change tax years or something. So you want to make sure it's a full one-year period.
You know, we got into this morning and, you know, just really going back and forth with it. And I said, let's call Sarah at Ed Slot because we had a question on number five here when we get to it. when we get to it. So anyway, it was just so much, it's so enjoyable talking to her. I said, you know what? She's the Encyclopedia Britannica, of Ed Slott & Company. We decided we're going to have her on in the next couple, 3 months and answer some of these more complex questions because she is just so good. And it's always fun talking with her. She presents usually at Ed Slott's conferences as well. And we're going to be heading to one in
May.
Mistake number two, not taking a plan RMD, required minimum distribution before rollover to an IRA. So you're in a 401k. You're 75 years old, no longer there. You have to take RMDs. Well, what if I want to roll the whole thing to an IRA? You can roll the whole thing minus your RMD, required minimum distribution for that year, unless, Heidi,
Well, if you're still working.
You have the still working exception.
You don't have to take an RMD.
You're still working and you're not a...
A 5% owner.
5% owner.
Right.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, this gets really technical. The purpose behind this, there's a means to an end. Tell us, Dennis! There is a means to an end on this. The reason we're telling you this is you can't believe. Heidi was telling a story of an individual who came in.
Sad story.
Really sad. And these are sad ones because it really can be expensive. So what happened, Heidi?
Well, we were talking about these mistakes, and we actually had someone come into our office who had stopped working with their company, and they had rolled over all of their money in their plan into their checking account. They did not roll it into another IRA. They came in too late to do any kind of 60-day rollover or anything like that. And so all that money, taxable in 1 year. So, of course, the tax brackets went up several tax brackets. So there's not much you can do after that 60-day period. And so, but the ramifications were really felt by this individual. And that's why it's so important to go ask those questions before you make these decisions of where you're going to put it. Because, you know, by asking the questions, just going in to talk to someone, even if you think you know what you're doing, talking to someone else, talking it out, make sure that you're following the proper protocols so you don't have a disaster like that. You just feel so bad because there was nothing we could do.
Yeah, it just, honestly, you're telling the story and it just makes you sick because you go, oh my gosh, that didn't have to happen that way. And another situation, now when Heidi said, even if you think you know what you're doing, well, guess what? Your 401k provider may not know what they're doing either. Oh, you've never seen that, Dennis. Oh, yeah? So I'll just say it. There was a situation where we now have a retiree as a client, and the advice they got from their 401k provider was so bad, it was stunning. Hmm. It was so wrong. And they were going down, they refused to listen to me in that particular conversation. So I said, all right, we're not doing this today. Well, the next day, the manager of the division there at the 401k provider called us and didn't really apologize, but told us all the correct information that needed to occur in that rollover and how they would process it. And it wound up saving the employee, or the former employee at that time, a significant amount of tax and penalties in that particular transaction. So they had appreciated stock in their 401k, which is a totally different piece of the pie. They also had after-tax funds in there. So sometimes what you think may be inconsequential or pretty simple, because you've been doing this for 30 years, it may not, and we can't always say that it'll make a difference, but in many cases, I'll just say this, it may make a significant difference to you. So these decisions up front can really wind up making a difference financially.
So in Heidi's story, you said that woman took all the funds from her 401k, put it in the checking account?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the 401k provider didn't say have anything like FYI, you might hit a tax penalty on this. But did she want liquidity, or what should she have done?
Well, she just wanted to put it someplace while she decided where to go to next.
Okay.
Sort of just, and you are allowed to take all of your money out and have it payable to you. That's one of the options.
Yeah. It's a box you check, Ron. Literally, it's a box. It's like voting for the wrong side, you know? It's a box you can check.
Jeez.
And usually when people roll money out of a 401k or an employer plan, they do receive a check. But the key is it made out to a different custodian where the IRA's at? That's not considered going to the individual. But if it's just made out to the individual, you have to get that into an IRA to avoid the tax. Yeah. So.
Sometimes, honestly, I think I'm crazy. And I'm sure a few listeners think I am. Because why would you get so wound up about this? Because it's real life, you know? This stuff happens.
And
these are some of the biggest decisions you'll make, again, financially. So, you know. Mistake number three, erroneously. Well, okay, let's stop that. Distributing money direct to you instead of doing a direct rollover. This is the mistake Heidi just detailed. The 20% in a situation, if they make the check to you, the plan has to withhold 20%. Now, even if you did that within the 60 days, so let's say they made the check payable to you, you checked the wrong box. You go in and see your financial advisor and say, oops, I got a check for $100,000 or $500,000, whatever that number is, or $1 million or $2 million. They withheld 20%. What should I do? Well, okay, they sent that money to the IRS, number one. You have to make up that difference yourself from your own checkbook. Well, I don't have that cash right now to make up what they sent to the IRS. I can make up the amount they sent to me. It's still there. Okay, you can do that. But keep in mind, unless you make up that amount that they sent to the IRS yourself, that's all taxable income in that year.
You still have to pay tax on the amount that was withheld for taxes.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. Number four, we're going to get to it, actually. A non-spouse beneficiary attempting to do a 60-day rollover. This is when a child, generally, of an IRA owner decides to take the money out of dad's or mom's deceased IRA account for themselves. And then they're going to roll it over to their own beneficiary IRA. Doesn't work that way. You have to do a direct transfer only. Direct transfer, do not pass go, only. That's number four. Mistake five, young spouse. And now this may not be something you've heard before. Somebody who's under age 59 and a half, their spouse passes away. Ouch. Mm. Instead of doing a spousal rollover to your own account, strongly consider if you could use the funds, leaving it in the deceased person's account. It can be, because it can be a serious mistake. Leave it in that account, then you won't have to pay a 10% penalty for taking withdrawals. 10%. So for every, put it simply, $10,000 you take out in that case, you're avoiding a $1,000 penalty for those funds that you happen to need because he or she passed away with an IRA or 401k balance. So you can process these correctly. Please keep this in mind to avoid penalties and significant taxes. Heidi mentioned briefly those tax brackets go up, and they go up stratospherically for higher incomes. What could be taxed at 12% instead may be taxed at 35% because you took out $500,000 and that full amount is taxable in that year. Ouch. Okay. So you spent a lot of years getting this deferred and taken care of. Please make the right decisions when you're moving these funds.
And Dennis, I would just add for the younger spouse. So if your spouse passes away and you're under 59 and a half, you leave it in that inherited IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Once, even if it's 10 years down the line and you reach that age of 59 and a half, you can then move that over to your own IRA. So that does not expire. You can do that at any time. A spouse has special rules. So remember, if you're not in a spouse situation, there will be different rules. But special rule for spouses, they allow them to move it to their own IRA at any time.
There are benefits to mowage. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Just saying. There can be, Ron. So, Heidi, you've got a lot to discuss. This is an article with Ed Slott from Morningstar. Ed Slott, how you can turn tax time pain into a win. We'll say tax time pain into a gain. Now, a win. When Heidi is done, we're going to be talking about a win here in the basketball realm. That was really fun to see. Ron showed me at the break, and we're going to include about 8 seconds of that game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is an article coming to us from Morningstar. And Christine Benz interviewed Ed Slott. And this is a transcription of this podcast. So I will be reading some of Ed's answers. And, you know, he always gives us a unique spin on things. So they're talking about tax season, and many people wish that they had planned better or done a better job of being organized. And so they start out talking about blind spots. And Ms. Benz says, you say that taxpayers often have a long list of woulda, coulda, shoulda at tax season. What do you see as the main missed opportunities? And Ed answers, well, basically not preparing. He says in his years when he did tax preparation, he said he felt like he was just the bearer of bad news. He said most CPAs and tax preparers, even professional ones, are really just history teachers. They tell you what already happened. You can't go back unless you have a time machine. So, the next question, Ed, what are three things people can do right now to save on their taxes? And he says, oh, I only have one thing, but it's a big one. His answer is nothing, because things have already happened, and that is the problem. So, they went fully, she followed up with this question, what are some of those things that you see, common mistakes that people make? And he said one is Roth IRA contributions. Maybe you listen to our show or you're listening to Ed and you're like, wow, what a great idea. I want to open a Roth IRA and I want to make a contribution. Well, the thing is, you can do that up to April 15th, but not so if you already have an IRA and you just wanted to convert some of that money over to a Roth IRA. In that case, you know, it's too late to do that for the prior year. It's not going to affect the taxes of the previous year. So it's confusing because for contributions, you can make contributions all the way up to April 15th of the year following the tax year. So for 24, you have till April 15th of 2025. But for Roth conversions, you have to do it in that calendar year from January 1st to December 31st. So it might be too late to do a conversion if you wanted to do it for the 2024 year. Another thing that it's too late to do is QCDs. When people hear about QCDs, you might think it's a great idea. This is where you take money from your IRA and you give it to a charity, and that way you do not need to recognize that income. But this is something that has to be done in that tax year, again, just like the Roth conversions. So last year is last year, and there's nothing more you can do with that. But Ed reminds people that now is a good idea to think about QCDs for 2025. Don't wait until the end of the year or when you're doing your taxes for that tax year to think about the QCD. Start thinking about that now for next year.
Now, QCDs are available to anyone who is 70 and a half or older.
Correct.
Even though you don't have to take an RMD or required minimum distribution, a QCD is a qualified charitable distribution. That allows you, and most people can't deduct the amounts that they would give to any charity these days. Mm. That's why these IRA funds
are, in most cases, the very best dollars to give to charity, because then they'll never be taxed. You did think about this just for a moment. You deducted the amount that went in. The amount grew tax deferred. You distribute it then in number three to the charity of your choice. It's never taxed. That's beautiful stuff. Yeah.
So she was giving Ed a hard time because he was talking about things. Well, it's too late. It's too late to do these things. So she says, what can you do now? And he says, things you can do now, like we mentioned, you can do IRA contributions, traditional or Roth contributions. You can do a spousal IRA contribution. He says those are missed quite a lot.
Hang on a second. Now, you can do that until April 15th of this year for last year.
Correct.
Which is kind of crazy. So thinking about that, now that spousal option is really cool. Well, go ahead with that.
Right.
Please.
He says most people don't think of it.
Right.
They say this is where one spouse is working and one spouse doesn't have any earnings. But you can do what's called a spousal IRA, where you can put in for a spouse who didn't have their own earnings as long as you have enough earnings to cover both. That can still be done for last year, like Dennis said, and it's a pretty good move if you want to have an additional contribution at this point.
If you prefer to make a contribution for him or her, even though they didn't work last year, at an outside job. We'll
so then they ask
way.
Ed, what is the biggest problem? And he said the biggest problem is that most people are just not prepared for their taxes. So most people don't have a way to save a lot for deductions because most people are now taking the standard deduction because they raised the standard deduction in that Tax and Jobs Act.
To a very high amount. Now, what is it for 24 or 25, Heidi? The standard deduction is really high.
I have my handy-dandy chart here. And for married and joint, and this is 2025 information.
Okay,
so,
great.
It's $30,000. And for a single, it is $15,000. And for a head of household, it's
$22,500. Okay.
So to go back, he said, but if you have a small business, for small business people out there, or maybe you're Schedule C or self-employed, you might have a lot of deductions and you might itemize those. So he says an important thing, and he says this is very technical and highly sophisticated, but he gives his clients a folder, and he gives them a folder with sides that have sides, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, if something happens during the year, you have a receipt, you get a notice, you put it in the folder. He's like, that is amazing because when you get to the end of the year, you can sort it out at tax time. And he says he was amazed at his clients, the difference it made just by him giving them that folder. He says, don't worry if it's deductible at the time. He said, I don't care. Just put it in there. And you never know what sort of things are going to come out when they're doing your taxes, where you can take advantage of a certain program or et cetera.
There was a great article maybe a year or two ago regarding a CPA who was very aggressive in his deductions, but he kept track of every last deductible amount. And in that same way, he just said, I keep all my receipts. Then it's not a problem. Obviously, he was very honest about it. But he was aggressive enough to where he said, I've got all the proof. If there's ever a question, I've got the proof.
Yep. And Ed says, the better records you have, the better you always do on taxes. I believe most people cheat themselves on taxes. Most people don't keep track. Again, with small business people, because a lot of these miscellaneous item deductions aren't even allowed anymore. But they usually underestimate on the things that are allowed. Like he brought up mileage and working in your house and all these different things that people tend to underestimate.
Yeah, if you've got the receipts and are got the proof, consider it. Yeah.
Right. So moving right along, the next thing they talked about was multi-year tax planning process. And she asked Ed to expand on that. He said that tax saving should be a lifelong process. He says that people say, how can I save taxes now? Again, you do have to do the things last year. But assuming you did, say you did do the QCD, you did do some of these different things, He likes to differentiate between real deductions and fake deductions. Real deductions, in Ed's words, are high medical bills, charitable contributions high enough to itemize, home mortgage interest. Those are all real deductions. You keep them, and you never have to give them back. So if you've known from our program, Ed Slott is a big proponent of Roth IRAs, and this is where he brings this in. He says, I don't even know why people call a 401k contribution a deduction. Yes, it reduces your W-2 income, so it's a deduction. But whenever you take a deduction for a 401k contribution, you're generally thinking short term. All that is actually a loan you are taking from the government to be paid back at the worst possible time in retirement when your rates could be higher. Tax rates in general could be higher, and you're taking a deduction when rates are relatively low. We have historically low tax rates. Deductions should be taken when tax rates are high, and income should be taxed or should be taken when rates are low. So, Dennis, what do you think about that?
I think it's a great point, but I think there's a major problem people have with that, because they're going to wind up paying more tax to put it into the Roth. And who wants to pay more tax? Nobody. Nobody. I see no hands in the audience. And why? It's almost like buying a stock at a discount. Oh, that stock XYZ was trading at $200 a share 2 weeks ago, and now it's $150. I was hoping it would go to 150, but the reason it's at 150 is there was some bad news about that particular market or that stock. I'm not going to buy it now. So you see the psychology behind it? Mm-hmm. The filling up the 12% tax bracket, which is about $95,000 or so of taxable income for a couple in 24, 25, it went up a little bit. Why would I pay more tax now? Say that to me again. Well, because it's never been this cheap. It's never been this low of a cost to pay today's tax rates. Well, what if they don't go up in the future? Well, I guess that could happen. But what if they do? Would that have been a good decision? Yes. And if that amount is growing fully tax-free and you don't use it, generally you're going to pass it on to your spouse and then to your children. Could they possibly use it? Well, I guess Johnny could. See, there you go. So think bigger, perhaps, if that's applicable to you. But go ahead and take the discount today if you can, because it may, in most cases, wind up being a very good decision in the long term. I don't regret any Roth conversions I've done in the past. Not one, because I know they're growing tax-free.
And it's great. I talk to clients all the time about having money in the three different taxable buckets, having your Roth money, which is tax-free when you take it out, your IRA money, which is taxed when it comes out, and your non-qualified money, or money outside of a retirement account that's taxed on an annual basis. And so the idea is, as the tax laws change, which they do constantly, yes, keeps our show with a lot of good things to talk about, but they're always changing. That way you can pivot in any circumstance or maybe in a change in tax policy. An example could be, you know, you have to put a new roof on your house. That could be a substantial amount, maybe $30,000. Well, that could, if you took it out of your IRA, that could bump you up into that higher tax bracket. So maybe you just want to take part of it out of your Roth and part of it out of your IRA to manage and keep yourself in the same tax bracket. So the more different types of money, the more strategies you have. So there are reasons. And another thing for traditional IRAs is they're the best place to give money to charity. And if you're charitably minded, keeping some funds in that traditional IRA, it's better to give money from there than from a Roth that's tax-free.
Absolutely. All right, so stats. Beth Shire, please help us.
Fire away. Right, here we go. Interesting investment. Berkshire Hathaway opened a new investment position in Constellation Brands, an alcoholic beverage producer known for Modelo and Corona. This comes after Berkshire Hathaway reduced its holdings in Citigroup by 74% and Bank of America by 15%. And that is from Reuters.
Wow. Very interesting.
Right. Yes. Italian investigations. Italian prosecutors have launched a formal investigation into Amazon and three of its executives for alleged tax evasion totaling $1.26 billion. The investigation relates to sales made between 2019 and 2021, including penalties and interest. Amazon could owe Italy over $3 billion.
That's substantial.
Yeah, I see some negotiation potential there.
Wouldn't that break most countries or most companies?
Yes, it would. Absolutely, unequivocally. Mm. For Amazon, it'd still hurt. $3 billion. Yeah, it's a fair sum.
Hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. Clemency King, former President Joe Biden granted 4,245 acts of clemency during his presidency, which is the highest total of any president, beating out Franklin Roosevelt, who granted 3,796.
From 1933 through 1945, 12 years,
From Pew Research Center. And then the number of retirees working after retiring remain at 30% in 24. And for reference, this percentage has stayed between 23% and 34% since 1999.
Wait a minute.
So it's pretty consistent.
If you're a retiree and you're working, how are you retired?
It's a great question. Part-time?
Part-time must be like
whatever.
Part-time.
Seasonal?
Stress-free gigs or,
We have
a third.
We have a lot of clients that have part-time situations. I would say 30% is probably pretty good. But, yeah, we have seasonal workers, people who help out in different seasons for things. Mm-hmm. We have people who like to dabble, you know, one or 2 days a week.
The workforce is probably lucky to have them, too.
Yes, indeed. A lot of experience.
Are we? How are we doing on time?
We have to wrap up.
All right, let's call it wrap up time.
Proud Financial Design. It's New Retirement Radio Thursdays at 10 and repeated 9 o'clock Saturdays. Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Beth Shire. Thank you all.